Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, the Midday 180 rolls on as we talk Titans with number 26, Logan Ryan. From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Logan Ryan Show.
We're pumped. We're inside the Music City Performance Studio. It is the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's, and it is the Logan Ryan Show on 104.5 The Zone. Number 26 is in the house. Good to see you, man.
What's up?
How about that game?
Pretty good, huh? How about the victory?
You've been involved in a lot of big games throughout your career.
A couple.
But what you may not know is that game is right up there with one of the best regular season games we've ever seen in that stadium. Paul did a list at his site that we can reference
Top three, later
in the show. But as far as just regular season games that you've played in, is that among the ones that you would rattle off immediately?
I think so. I think it's right up there at the top. Just a big underdog, like, every week.
Patriots always had a lead.
Yeah.
So he's not used to these big comebacks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There was a Patriot game one time. We were down 28, like, nothing to the Broncos, and we came back and won that. That was a good game. But this right here, I mean, just how the season's been, man. Every game has been so exciting. I mean, we played 7-hour game. We've played an overtime game. We played a game with no tackles. We played a game, you know, in Jacksonville when Jacksonville is the top team in the league, and all the games have been over 90 degrees in heat. So they're pretty awesome, man. They're gritty wins, and that's what I like.
What was the scene in the locker room after that one?
You guys saw it. It was a shoving match. Lawan versus Raves. I don't know who would win that.
I'll say, who got the best of that?
It's like a super back and forth.
Yeah, it's like Clash of the Titans right there.
Literally.
Jinx.
I mean, those post-game talks, you've been in the league for a while, tend to think of veterans heard every variation of that. Though in the moment, I imagine there's a uniqueness to it, a specialness to it anyway. What's it like when you... when you guys gather around, are you thinking, "Hey, we just pulled this off"? I want to hear what Coach has to say. What's the vibe?
Man, we're so excited. We were so excited for our coaching staff and excited for Vrabel. We went 0-4 in the preseason. And everyone's like, "What's going on here?" And we're like, "Just wait, just wait till you see." Then we lost the first game. That was a tough game to lose, obviously. And man, we just stuck with it. And you could tell Vrabel has that former coach in him because there's so much energy after the games. And my wife's in the crowd. She'll tell you how much goes into what I do, goes into these games, how many hours I spend away from my kids, away from my family. I mean, Wednesday, 12-hour day, Thursday, a 12-hour day, I'm doing massages, I'm having people come to the house, I'm doing all this stuff around the clock, trying to nurse injuries that nobody might know about, just so I can, cover Zach Ertz on a Sunday, just so I can cover whoever it might be, to prepare for my matchup. Hours of film we talk about. So there's only so much time in the day on top of, anybody who works and goes and has to sacrifice for their family and put food on the table. So there's so much of that collectively, all for a 3-hour game. You put everything into it and you win in that epic fashion. I mean, all the adrenaline comes out. All of us played sports at some time, hopefully. And, a win, it just feels like a child, like you're just going to let it all out.
Let's say that you guys don't get the 4th-and-2 when the field goal team goes back out there, then the offense goes back out. Is that still something that is a building block, even if you don't get it, to get that type of confidence from your head coach and to know that you're a team that goes for it, even if it didn't work out like it didn't work out for the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about a building block, but we've been that team all year. We threw a fake punt for, first quarter, first punt of the game. We threw a fake punt for a touchdown on 4th down. I mean, we're going to go for it, and I was all for it. If you think about the situation, what is the point of playing for a tie? I mean, I don't think they really help you in the standings. They're kind of annoying to look at with that record, and they don't do much for you. And honestly, we would have kicked a field goal and then gave the ball back to the Eagles, and bearing a turnover, the best thing maybe could have happened would have been a tie. So I don't think we were going to do that. I think we're going to put our offense, put the ball in number eight's hands and let him do what he does constantly. And he's had, I guess, the most fourth quarter comebacks or whatever it might be in the league or something like that. So, I mean, that's our quarterback for a reason.
They do help you in the stand. I'm amazed at the hatred for the tie. I understand you want the
win
over
the
tie.
You play to win the game.
You play to win the game. But given a choice between half a win or zero win, you take a half a win, right? That's what a tie is. It counts in the standings as half a win, which is better than the loss. It's not as good as the win, understandably, but it's way better than the loss.
But playing for a tie, you're giving yourself an opportunity not to win. So am I going to sit here and sit on a tie, or am I going to try to win?
Well, if Corey Davis doesn't catch that ball, you're settling for a tie. And there probably would have been, you would have been disappointed he didn't catch it. I don't know. He's going for it on fourth down?
What was the point of going for it on three fourth downs to kick a field goal on the 10-yard line? Why don't you just go for it on fourth down for the win?
It's a good question.
At that point? I mean, if you're going to put your chips in three times, you might as well put them in a fourth. So, yeah, by settling for a tie, yes, it's better than a loss. Obviously, we all know that, but you're telling yourself that you didn't go for the win. And I think the Colts aren't shooting themselves in the foot for not having a tie right now. I think they're saying, you know, we went and tried to go for the win. We didn't get it. I think Andrew Luck said, you know, that's why I play the game. I go out there and try to win. I don't think there should be ties in football, honestly.
17-3 down. Another situation where the defense, the Eagles took control there for a time, and you guys kind of minimized the hurt from it. 17 points. A 14-point lead, hardly insurmountable. So how reassuring is that you know, in the ebbs and flows of a game, you guys might, you know, have your downtime, but almost every time now you're coming out of it with a survivable deficit. Nobody's getting away from it.
Yeah, well, a good sign of a good defense is a good scoring defense. So you always hear bend, don't break. You never want to bend, obviously, but when you're playing a team that has some of the weapons that the Eagles have and Carson Wentz, who's arguably could have been MVP last year if he wasn't injured, and he played to that form. He's a really good player. I think we're all, I don't want to say surprised, but he is back to form. He's a really good player. I've gained a lot of respect for him playing against him. And Alshon Jeffrey had a pretty good performance as well coming out there without practicing, so that's something else. And, you know, a good defense is going to bow up in the red area, and I think we're one of the top red area defenses, and that's what we need to do. We need to be better in the field. And, you know, there's things that I think we're really excited as a city and excited as a franchise and really excited about everything right now. But there is things to clean up defensively. Don't get that wrong. We did not play our best defensive game, and we have higher standards for ourselves on defense. But as long as we're holding people to field goals and holding people to, you know, no points and stuff like that, I think we'll be all right.
You had one game this season, a film study, to watch Carson Wentz perform. A year ago, Wentz to Ertz was a big-time connection. It was a big-time connection this game. How quickly can you tell, either watching film or over the course of a game, that there are times where a quarterback and a receiver, in this case a tight end, are just on the same page at all times, and you know that the one knows where the other one is at all times, and you sort of play to that, and you guys adjusted to that in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, we knew that Ertz was the most targeted tight end in the league. I'm sure if Delaney was healthy, he would probably be the most targeted tight end. But Ertz was the most targeted tight end, most targeted player on their team going into the game. He was their best player, best receiver. So we knew that, and he was doing a good job of finding the ball in zones. And every time we were in a zone, he would sit it down somewhere, and they just had that rapport. And we knew that last year. I mean, he helped him win a Super Bowl. So, I mean, we knew that. We adjusted and played a little more man-to-man and put me and KB on him at times and made it hard. Really made it hard for him. If they want to catch it, he got to throw it against one of our better players.
Was that specifically in the second half, that adjustment? Because his production went down after halftime.
No, that was the plan going the whole game. We just didn't get the opportunities. They just didn't come up based on how the game was going as much as when you're down 14 points, you're not going to sit in too much zone. You're going to sit there and blitz the heck out of them, or you're going to just cover them up in the man and make everything hard. And you don't always want to do that in the beginning of the game, but I think that was the just. We got far more aggressive because we had to. I mean, you're down 14. Again, you're playing. People see on offense that we're going for it on fourth down, but people don't know what we're doing on defense. We're like, you know what, we're not going to give him no more time. We're just going to blitz this guy and keep blitzing him. And guess what? Secondary, you got to bow up. That's what we had to do.
Wasn't long ago these guys, Eagles, played against your former team in the Super Bowl. Wondering, did you have any conversations as you got ready for the Eagles about covering the Eagles with any of your old buddies?
No, not really. You know, that's a little sore topic for them. So I didn't want to rub it into him too bad. So I did my own preparation. I trust myself on that one. And, you know, I always wish each other luck and stuff like that. But, you know, I got a lot of family from the Philly area. So, you know, they're big Eagles fans as well. So I was happy about this one.
It's the Logan Ryan Show, 104.5 The Zone. We are inside the Music City Performance Studio. We had promoted Kenny Vaccaro as our guest today with Logan. And injuries happen. He's in a sling on the sideline Sunday. And I sent Paul a text immediately. I said, I'm not going to see Logan in the locker room. Mentioned to him that, you know, we're probably not going to have Kenny Vaccaro on Tuesday, but he's in rehab right now.
Yeah, he still thought about it.
Did he?
He thought about it. He's a good guy, man. He felt bad about not being able to make it. I mean, your elbow's facing the wrong direction. So I said, you know, I think, you know, we'll excuse you, but yeah, you owe us one. So, so you owe the crowd one. So maybe, you know, Kenny, when he gets healthy, he'll get back. And I tried our last minute reach out to Adoree at like 11. He wasn't awake yet, so, you know.
The day off,
so
yeah.
I said, you know what, I just got to hold it down.
More sports talk, less static. Nashville's number one station for sports. 104.5 The Zone.
Now third and more than 20 for Wentz. He motions Ertz to the right, three receivers that way. Titans bringing pressure. Wentz firing downfield for Aguilar. Batted away. What a play. Ryan. Logan Ryan popped it out at the 45 of the Titans. Looked like a beautiful throw and a big completion. Ryan, perfect position.
The Titans were in zone pressure. They were playing three deep. Ryan did what we call cluing. He was cluing the outside receiver and the seam route. That was a big-time veteran play by Ryan.
It is the Logan Ryan Show on the Midday 180. Served up by Wendy's inside the Music City Performance Studio. We're doing this once a month throughout the season. If you want to be a part of this live studio audience, you can sign up online, 1045thezone.com, and just mention The Zone in a tweet, at 1045thezone, and our staff will get back with you on all the details on how you can bring a client out here. Logan mentioned during the break, it's a perfect hour to do that during the lunch hour. It's not 1 o'clock anymore for the Logan Ryan Show. It's at noon. Better for everyone involved.
Yeah, tell your bosses, give you extended lunch. And
that's right.
And come here. They'll
like
understand.
Everyone today. That's
they'll
right.
Understand.
About two-thirds of our crowd, they were inside Nissan Stadium on Sunday. What was the crowd like from the players' perspective? Because there were several thousand Philly fans, but I enjoyed that atmosphere on game day.
I loved it. You know, you heard so much about how Philly's going to travel, how they're going to fill up the stands, and we're preparing for crowd noise on both sides because it's going to be a neutral game. And I'm telling you, I didn't hear too much Philly fans in there. I mean, our Titans fans were loud. They were loud on defense. There wasn't too much fly Eagles flying there.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, coming up in about 10 minutes, we have a zone announcement, so stay tuned for that. Looking forward to it.
Big announcement.
Logan, I don't think that Philly fans took over to the extent people thought, like you said. I did think, though, that the Eagles fans, and you grew up around Eagles fans, their intensity, I think, raised the level of intensity from Titans fans.
Yeah.
That's as excited as I've seen a Titans crowd in response, I think, to the Philly fans that were in there. That had to be welcome for you guys as well.
Love it. And I think that you need to be. We need a rabid fan base. You know, we put a winning product out there, which we're doing, and we're going to stick to it. But we're going to have these gritty, tough wins and games like this that we're going to need that fan base to be that advantage for us and to show up and be loud. And that's the expectation now. I think both our two home games were pretty, they're exciting. It's fun to play defense at home when you got a crowd like we're having so far.
Logan, I saw a stat, and this was before Sunday Night Football and before last night's game, obviously. On 990 pass attempts in week 4 on Sunday, the NFL had a passer rating of a combined 100.2, which is enormous. Teams threw for 56 touchdowns to that point in week 4, just 20 interceptions, 65% completion percentage, and they averaged 7.97 yards per attempt. Marcus averaged right at 8 on Sunday. So what we saw from the Titans offense was the norm across the league.
Yeah.
As a corner, you have the deck stacked against you, right? What is a successful corner rate on the outside nowadays compared to when you first entered the league? Because teams are throwing a lot more, especially early downs.
You know, it's hard. I mean, numbers, you know, I don't do Pro Football Focus. Those guys picked against us every week, so, I mean, I don't know what they're doing anyway. So, I mean, I don't put too much weight in it with the numbers and stuff like that. As a corner, my goal is always to have more turnovers and touchdowns allowed. So whatever I'm given, if I give up a touchdown, to try to have interception or try to get it back for the team. I mean, you know, it's not going to be perfect. I play an imperfect position where I'm out there and everyone sees it. When I do really bad, everyone hates me and they see it and there's nowhere to really cover me up. And then when I do well, they see it too. But I play out there and my position's very vulnerable, obviously, and that you have to be a certain type of cut from a certain cloth to do it. So the numbers can be deceiving with all these RPOs, like we talk about, these short passes, these screens that, you know, they didn't throw as much back in the day. Now, you know, you pull the, you know, like I said, the runner, the line's blocking, you pull the ball at the belly, you throw a little slant for 7 yards, that's a completed pass. You touch a little reverse pass, and that's a pass nowadays. You throw a screen behind the line of scrimmage, and Deion Lewis runs 18 yards, that's 18-yard completion. So, I mean, those are ways that quarterbacks and offensive coordinators get their quarterbacks going by padding those stats and those senses. They're just different ways to run the ball.
Do you think that there's a lack of fear from quarterbacks because the rules set up to protect them, and that leads to guys maybe hanging in there a little bit longer, finding guys down the field? Is that in some way part of this offensive explosion?
Well, with the rules nowadays, it's completely not a bad play to throw the ball up on the outside and hope for, I mean, a PI or a catch, because as a DB, you have to do so much right to make a play on the ball without being PI nowadays. So unless you got a corner that puts fear in your heart, which is what I try to be, or us corners try to be, unless you got a guy that doesn't put fear in your heart, I don't think we had too much fear of their corners, and we're just going to throw it up. And well, I think there's plenty of times we throw it up and Corey made plays.
And I'm talking more about physical harm that the quarterbacks feel, or physical danger, because we had a caller bring up this analogy. When Barry Bonds started wearing the armor on the right side, and he could crowd the plate at that point because he had no fear of someone brushing him back, and all other players started mimicking that wanted to crowd the plate. Well, if a quarterback is protected by the league and they don't, now granted, they could still get hurt, but they're not in constant fear of someone really hitting them and driving them in the ground. I mean, if you're back there playing, you know, I played flag football quarterback. I wasn't afraid of getting hit. So you could sit back there all day and just throw. Is there any of that now in the NFL with quarterbacks?
I don't play it, so I don't know.
Well, you used to.
Yeah, I did. And
I'm asking an actual quarterback to get to
this level, which I didn't get to, you know, obviously. But to get to this level, you have to be fearless regardless. So I don't know if the rules, I don't know if Marcus is saying, well, I'm gonna take this hit, so maybe it's roughing the passer or something. Like, I don't know about all that. I'm just talking about from the coverage perspective. So that's a good question, but I don't know if I'm the best to answer that.
What's Darius Jennings got that you don't have that allows him to be the emergency quarterback and not you?
Oh, I'm just not in offensive meetings. You know, you give me a week in those meetings, I think I could obviously be. I'll tell you what, I mean,
I think a day.
KB got a lot of hype, you know, for his pass, but I'm a much better thrower of the football than KB.
Yeah, I mean, he got it there. He did what he needed to do, but it wasn't a
board. It is what you put on Sundays, so.
You are very familiar with the Buffalo Bills through your time in New England. There was a game you had where you had like 17 tackles or something against Buffalo. What do you remember about that game?
We lost. Your body always feels worse when you lose. And I had 17 tackles, so that my body felt sore from that too. So that was just a long day right there. It's just how it. I was covering Robert Woods that day, and who's a pretty good player.
Yep.
And Malcolm was on Sammy Watkins, I believe. And if you know the two receivers, Sammy Watkins doesn't block at all. And all Robert Woods does is block. So every time they're going to run the ball, they ran into Robert Woods. And he kept cracking our safety, you know, going down and blocking the safety, which makes it a one-on-one with me and LeSean McCoy. So me and LeSean McCoy probably had like 20 one-on-ones all game. I tackled him 17 out of 20. You know, he maybe missed about three times. But, I mean, I had 17 of them, and it was just an ugly game. I think Brady was suspended, and we lost that game. But, yeah, I had 17 tackles that game. I led the team. I had 95 tackles that year. And everyone's like, well, how do you have so many tackles as a corner? And I was like, well, I had 20 in one game, so that's going to pad the stats.
Speaking of the Bills, we asked you about Vontae Davis. Now, he quit mid-game.
Oh, yes, I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, a week ago, Rishard Matthews quit the team after a game. He texts a reporter and says he wasn't getting his targets, and that's why he quit. When you get the news that happened, what's your immediate reaction? Is it, I want to know more from Rashard, or I want to know what happened, or I don't care what happened, he's not here anymore, we move on, he left for whatever reason? What is your reaction when you hear it?
Well, you know, as a friend, you always want to make sure, like, hey, is everything okay? You know, is everything all right with you? Like, when people make these decisions, sometimes, and they're two very different cases, and I'm sure me and Paul are going to get into this one too, because the locker room is very upset with Paul.
Good.
Okay. So,
Dale?
Yeah, yeah, still. So the Vontae Davis situation, what I brought up last time was that he quit on his team during the game, which I said make sure there's so few players in the NFL on game day, 46 guys, that when you quit, that makes the whole rotation shorter. And, you know, that last game, me and Adoree both went out for a drive for undisclosed reasons or whatever. And then LaShawn Sims had to come in there. So if LaShawn Sims wasn't, you know what I'm saying, available, or Adoree wasn't available, then we wouldn't even have a corner to even play corner.
You physically hurt your team in the game with what Vontae Davis said.
Yes. Rashard's decision was that he wasn't happy with his role. So what did he do? He went and spoke to his boss. He went and spoke to his boss or whatever he did. And I'm not trying to speak for him, but he went and talked about that. And they had a conversation, and he wasn't happy or whatever. However that went, it wasn't what he felt was in the best interest for him and his family, which I understand, or, you know, people need to understand, right? And then he decided that he was going to move on and ask for his release. Now, that gives the team time to figure out what they want to do. That gives his teammates time to process what happens. And that gives another guy an opportunity to step up, like Tajay Sharpe, who had a good game, or whoever, Darius Jen, whoever it may be. That gives the team time to build the roster and to move on. Now, for Rashard's instance, he did whatever he felt was best for him, because at the same time, you had to feed your family and make your decisions. Now, I understand you're part of a team, but I would much rather a guy go speak and go directly to what his source of his issue was, his playing time, talk about that, not get what he wanted or whatever, and ask for his release, which the team granted. So that's John Robinson's decision, that's Rabel's decision, and that's Rashard's decision. As a team, we get paid to play. Now, as the boys, or for the boys, which we're all about, of course we're going to support somebody who felt like they did what was right for them, because what does it do for us? And we'll move on with the people that want to be there. But what does that do for us to throw dirt on another man's name who did what he was, you know, felt was best for him?
Do you feel like everyone who's left is for the boys? And what I mean by that is for the team and not necessarily upset with their own personal role.
I can't speak for everybody personally, but I think the ones that are contributing and the ones that are buying in and you're seeing these wins, it takes more than one person to be for the boys. It takes a team effort. If you're not happy with your role, then you can talk about it and leave or whatever that may be. But don't sit there and pout all year. Don't sit there and do a Terrell Owens and do sit-ups in your driveway. Don't sit there like Brandon Marshall at Denver and knock the ball down in practice and sabotage the team. Those are people that aren't for the team. If you're not for the team and you speak about it and want to leave, then you can leave the team. That's the most respectable way you can handle however you're feeling in that role.
So you think this is the best possible outcome? That he went to his boss, he had a problem, they decided this wasn't what's best for him, and he's not there.
As opposed to what else?
As opposed to, like you said, him either sticking around and pouting or just sucking it up and not being happy on the team the rest of the year.
That's a grown man decision, 100%.
We know the team is listening because your show is very, very highly rated in the locker room or in their homes.
Yeah. If Adoree's awake right now, he's listening.
So do you want me to say something about what my stance was that created this controversy in the locker room, if there's, to whatever degree it is?
Well, can I tell you where
then we can put it to bed, hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to see why the team would be upset with you. So when you came in the locker room, I felt like, I mean, your job is to write stories or the pulse of the team, or your job is to write the story. And I understand you're going to have an angle. But when you came in the locker room that day after Rashard retired, or Rashard asked for his release, you came at some of me included, you came at us and saying, well, how are you guys so-called for the boys and you let someone leave and you don't have anything to say about it, you don't want to talk about it? And I said, look, I want to talk about the Eagles. Like, I'm prepared to cover Zach Ertz. I'm not trying to bring any negativity or I understand something happened and you guys want a response. But if the team's not giving it to you, you don't have to sit there and force it. And then the thing that got me upset and got some of the teams upset, or some of the team upset, is you said, well, you so-called leaders, I'm a leader because I earned the right to be a leader. And I'm a leader to my peers. I'm not a leader because the coach calls me a leader. I'm in a locker room. I have to earn that. I came here 2 years ago and had to earn that. So don't call me a so-called leader because I'm not giving you a quote about bashing Rashard, who's a friend of mine. Like I said, Rashard handled his decision professionally and as a man should. And if the team has his back, or the team says, you know what, Rashard, if you don't want to be here, fine. You don't have to be here. But we're not going to sit there, and that's not going to ruin our day. We're not going to sit there and crash our culture and stop our fun and try to bash a man who already is walking away. There's no point in that.
All fair. Here's my one broad point. His locker, which was empty that day already, is below a big sign that says respect the team. And you guys talk about that, and you had been talking about for the boys. And I was surprised that it was so easy for you guys to have somebody walk out on you from below the respect the team thing and have those just jive very casually. Now, maybe you guys knew about this Monday or Tuesday and you had already started processing it. It was new to everybody else. And I still, I understand. I've talked to you. I've talked to Taylor. It's an old story now. But I still have trouble seeing how respect the team and leave the team if you feel like that's what's best for you, how you guys come to terms with those two things at the same time, which to me strike me as polar opposite.
Okay, so the team, and I respect your opinion. I do. And I respect you as a professional. But the team is bigger than one person. And Vrabel said it the day in, the Titans culture right now, we're trying to build a winning culture. And it's bigger than one individual. And it's 100%. If you're not happy with your role, then hop off. Hop off the train. The train is moving. I'm not going to be mad if you hop off.
A lot of guys are going to be not happy with their role. You want them all to hop off?
Why not? Why not?
Well, I mean, if I'm a backup, I want to start, right? Should I hop off?
So if my starter doesn't want to, if my starter doesn't want to play here anymore, then what's the backup's job? To step up and do his job. That's Darius Jennings' role, right? I came in as a rookie. I wasn't a starter. I either had to take a man's job or that man didn't want to play anymore or I had to beat him out. And then I became a starter. So now it's someone else's job to become a starter. That's just how teams work. But I can't bash a man who went home, talked to his wife and kids, made the best decision for him, went to his boss, told his boss he didn't want to play. He didn't quit on the team during the game. He sat there and said, I'm not happy with my role. Is that going to change? They said no. He said, okay, I would like my release. The team granted his release. So us as employees, what are we supposed to do? Sit there and bash a man, said he quit on us? He went and talked to who he's supposed to talk to, handle it the right way. We wished him the best. I wish him a better opportunity. Because listen, not everybody's going to succeed everywhere they're at. Sometimes a position or sometimes location does wonders for people. I'm having a great time here in Nashville, and I wanted to be in New England. It didn't work out that way. You think those guys are calling me some quitter on the team in New England or something like that?
Well, no, because you didn't quit. You were a free agent.
Yeah. So, I fulfilled my role. So Rashard was not happy. He asked for his release, and that is what it is. But I'm saying as a team, I think the most for the boys effort you could show is that our team still is united. Our team is happy that Rashard is happy, and our team is moving on. We're focused on winning games. We're not sitting here trying to get some story. And I saw even the fans felt that from you. Even the fans were like, why are you so concerned? If the team's not giving you nothing, don't force it. There's no. That's the story right there, that this team is unified with who we got. It doesn't matter who we got. Delaney went down. And we're still rolling. Dennis Kelly, Terry LaJuan went down. We're still rolling. Like, that's the team's job. People need to step up and keep it going because we're focused on winning. We're not focused on distractions.
It's the Logan Ryan Show. Logan, my favorite quote from last week was you telling Paul, no comment, I have my own radio show where I can discuss this.
It's not so exactly thank you what for he that. Said, yeah, it sounds good now.
Well, Paul was mad about that, and we got on to Paul for that one, too, because we're like, all right, great, we get the exclusive.
Yeah, I mean, look, I give my heart and effort on this show, man. You guys, I got an hour to answer things, and I do the pick six, and I open up to everybody. And, you know, I don't have to be available to talk every single day. You know, Marshawn Lynch is here just not to get fined.
Well, technically,
Hunt and I prefer you not speak at all until you come on this show. Paul's different.
I mean, technically, I do have to be available to no comment. Yeah, I have to be available to no comment. So I said, Paul came up to me about this whole story when it broke, and I understand it was a big deal. And I said, look, Paul, it's Wednesday. I just had an hour show with you yesterday. So I was like, look.
Yeah, you should have told us. Your guy walked out.
I was like, look, I'll talk to you tomorrow, man. I'm focused on Zach Ertz. I'm focused on these Eagles. I'm trying to get a win. This is a big game for this franchise. I'm trying to get a win. Like, this whole circus of whatever media day it is, like, everyone's asking the same question from the same, everyone's giving me the same answer, like, we're happy for Rashard, the boys is moving on, and you know, you didn't want it, you wanted to write your own story. I wasn't giving it that day.
God save the Queen.
In 3 weeks, the Titans are headed to London. And 104.5 The Zone is headed across the pond, so you don't miss a moment.
Marcus Mariota is the man!
Tune in all day Friday, October 19th, for complete coverage from London, including the Midday 180 live from the Titans Team Pub, presented by Crown Royal and VIP Wireless. Your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.
We can't wait to get over there. 104.5 The Zone hits London, and Midday 180 will broadcast live on Friday, October 19th. We plan on bringing the best coverage when the Titans travel across the pond. We're looking forward to it, and a big thanks to Crown Royal and Boost Mobile for presenting our broadcast there and all of the zone coverage there. That's coming up in, what, 3 weeks?
Cheerio!
We're ready.
I get to finally do my whole show in the British accent.
Paul's been warming up that British accent for a while now.
No, we'll have people with actual British accents as guests. Yeah. Maybe one of them.
We don't want to insult them with our British accents.
No. So as Chad has cast this, this is the British invasion in reverse.
Yeah, it's the reverse of the British invasion.
And the three of us don't have the Beatles here, just two of us.
I'm still angry about the Revolutionary War, the war of British aggression, as I call it. So I'm angry about that.
Does that mean no tea for you over there?
London must burn, is what I'm telling you. I'm joking, of course. It's going to be a big time. We're looking forward to that.
Logan, you joined us whenever Midday 180, we were live in Arizona.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can make this happen or not, but on that particular Friday, you'll likely be on the practice field. But if not,
I'm not on the practice field.
Practice is early, I'm told.
You can come join us.
Or don't have some plan with my wife or shopping or come see in London myself, then
if you literally have nothing else to do.
She just gave the thumbs up. She said it's good. You can join us. She's got no plan.
She wants in.
Don't let them pressure you.
She wants to drink warm beer.
Can she join us if you can't? Just in your place?
This might be the year she comes on this year.
You need to work on your British accent. This might be the year. We're going to bring you in as if you're a local.
Again, big thanks to Crown Royal and Boost Mobile for presenting this trip. 104.5 The Zone. It's official. We're going to London, and we're pumped. We're pumped to cover the Titans and Chargers on October 21st, and we'll broadcast live on the 19th. It's the Logan Ryan Show. Big thanks to Edley's Barbecue for bringing us food today. Happy hour, 3 to 6, Monday through Friday at Edley's. They've Thursday 2-for-1 all day long, and Edley's Barbecue is a great place to catch the games, both on Saturday and Sunday, home or away for your favorite team. Logan, each week it is time for your Pick 6.
It's the Pick 6 with Logan Ryan.
Intercepted, and there he goes. Logan Ryan going to take this one for a touchdown. Picked off, taking it all the way back for the touchdown is Logan Ryan.
So the zone is headed to London. The Titans are headed to London. What is the favorite country, Logan, that you have ever visited?
Favorite country? St. Lucia. Got married there. Beautiful. Honeymoon there and everything.
What a great answer with his wife in the house.
Easy.
Looking right
at St. Lucia.
What's number two on that list?
Trinidad and Tobago. That's where my family's from. Okay. My father's born there. So Trinidad and Tobago, another Caribbean island. So
the guy knows the Caribbean.
So we heard Paul's pathetic attempt at a British accent there. What accent around the world do you think is the best accent? Mm.
It's got to be the whole British, Australian, is it the same thing? I don't know.
Paul claims it is.
I know. Well, I mean, it got there.
The history, talking about the history of Australia.
Right, but I don't think there's a close second. I'd say Italian second. But, I mean, who wouldn't rate the British accent or the Australian accent number one?
Yeah.
I don't, the French has a certain quality. Yes, as Kirby can speak. Fluently.
Kirby's fluent.
Kirby's
many
the
languages.
Only guy in the world that can make French sound bad.
So a couple weeks back, we asked you if you had a boat, what would you name it? Well, today just happens to be National Name Your Car Day. So if you had to give a moniker to your ride, what would it be?
Man, these are getting tough.
Name your car. You name a lot of dogs, so you should be able to name a car.
I like that you're looking at your wife. It's a helpline. Like, we're on who wants to be a millionaire?
I don't want to tell people. I don't want to tell people my car.
You don't have to tell us the car. Yeah. Just tell
you
us
only
the
have
name
one
of
car?
The car.
Please, your license plate number.
Yeah. How many cars do you have?
Forever. Social security number.
I don't have many cars at all. I don't know.
Delaney has 11.
Yeah, and, I got a lot less than Delaney. A lot less than Delaney.
His car will remain unnamed. It's very
unnamed. Yeah, that's
depersonalized.
This is my first unnamed question I've had. I don't got anything for this one.
Well, we'll stick with names. Let's say you were given the choice at an early age to name yourself something other than Logan. What would you have picked as a name?
Something other than, I know my mom wanted to name me Conrad. I'm happy she didn't.
Conrad.
Wow. Conrad Ryan.
And then my when I go pick up food anywhere, it's Rogan Lion. So I just flip the R. So I go with Rogan Lion. That's my alias, Rogan Lion.
Conrad. The Conrad Ryan Show. On
yeah, that's just straight motocross. You would have sent me to be like a dirt bike motocross. You know, X Games type of name. Dad wasn't having it.
So let's say you're stranded overnight in an amusement park. What's the first thing that you're going to do there?
In an amusement park. I like funnel cake. I'll eat all the funnel cakes.
That's my guy.
Great answer.
Raid the funnel cake stand. Yes, yeah. Sir. If the song played every time that you walked into a room, what would that song be?
Dun, 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 dun. What is it? Do, 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 do. The champ is here.
Oh, like yeah.
There we go. A couple rings. I like, you know, I'm not bringing too much energy to this pick six today. So I got to owe you some more next week.
That's okay. But, I blame Paul.
I was so ready for my Paul debate today that.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have saved that for the very end.
Hey, he could have walked out after that.
Paul yucked our yum today.
Yeah. Reed, thank you. That was excellent. Logan, instead of the jersey discussion today, let's talk about the cleats that Sip got the secondary.
Right.
What's the meaning behind the Joker face and the playing cards and everything that was represented there?
I don't know.
You don't know. There was a three of spades and a king of spades.
Yeah, I don't think he put any thought in that on the why the on the spades.
That was so, cards.
That was so. This could be random though. Like that, it was on there for a reason. You got to find out for us.
Well, maybe because you listen to the show and you know Dark Knight's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And the Joker. That's probably not the reason, but I think they were super cool though. Whoever the guy who did them, which I don't know the name off the top of my head right now. I know Sip tweeted and everything. It was, I mean, it really looked like me. If you saw my cleats, like it had half my face, half the Joker face. And I just think it's, you got to have fun with it. And I think the Joker's a great character for that reason. And we were surprised by it. I remember Sip mentioning something to me in camp, but he had all our cleat sizes, our exact cleats we wear. I mean, we had nothing else to do with it. We just showed up to the game, and Sip had these custom Joker cleats painted for all of us, Joker socks.
Did you warm up in them?
We warmed up in them, yeah. And I would have worn them in the game. It would have been a hefty fine, so it wasn't. Wasn't worth that.
What's the fine for that if you did that?
Ten grand or 10 or 20 grand, depending on the game.
That's a steep price.
Yeah, you know, I like Sip, but
it's expensive. That makes them expensive shoes.
No, they look great.
They were free, and then they're $20,000.
I actually want to keep them in my house, though. I want to keep them and either do something with them one day, or auction or something for a charity, or just keep them on display. I think I'm super thankful of them, super dope, and we all love the Joker, though. We all love it, and I think the cleats came out great.
It's the Logan Ryan Show. Big thanks to Edley's Barbecue for providing lunch for our in-studio audience. Everyone here, stick around. Logan's going to take some photos, sign some gear for you if you brought that. Go ahead.
Yeah, one thing before we the Logan Ryan Show ends. Anybody who follows me on any social media, my Twitter, Real Logan Ryan, Instagram, anything, I'm doing a pledge it campaign right now where you can pledge a dollar amount per tackle that I make. So every tackle that I make, all the proceeds will go to my foundation, which obviously we know the Ryan Animal Rescue Foundation helps with animals, cats and dogs. There's a lot of stuff in Nashville. There's a lot of stuff nationally. Rescues a lot of dogs, finds dogs, forever homes and cats and all these things that we have planned. We have a lot of stuff planned. My foundation is definitely growing. So those who are fans of me, those who are listening, I know a lot of people are excited and listen to this show around the country. Feel free to check it out. It can be a dollar. It could be 50 cents. It could be $2. It could be 10. I did $126 per tackle. I don't know if I'll get 17 this game. If you're worried about that, I don't think I'll get that again. Hopefully it's a bad day if I have 17 tackles probably. So yeah, but, check it out on my social media. You can pledge a dollar amount and, you know, every tackle I make is going to help out animals. And I think it was a cool thing to do. It's been pretty good so far and I'm excited to do it. So, those who, believe in me, believe in my foundation, what we do. Feel free to pledge.
We've just retweeted that at Midday 180. You can also follow Logan there at Real Logan Ryan. Thank you, man. Great to see you.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate you guys.
That was good. Thanks.
Audience.
Thanks to the audience. This has been awesome.
Without you, the show is nothing.
That's right.